Jesus. Be removed by fire. Be removed by fire. Be removed by fire. Every negative identity, every negative stigma, every bolt that the enemy has stuck into my life, by fire be removed. In the name of Jesus Christ, be removed by fire. Be removed by fire in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have just prayed. Maybe some of us don't know the meaning of that prayer. Naaman is called leprous in the Bible. But do you know he was a general? But they always call him a leper. Amen? Bartimaeus was always called a blind Bartimaeus. But do you know he was an evangelist? But when they want to describe him, they will say blind Bartimaeus. Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable than his brothers. He's supposed to be called honorable Jabez. But he was called the son of sorrow. Amen? Joseph was called slave by Potiphar's wife, but he was supposed to be a prime minister of Egypt. Anna was called barren, but this is a woman of 5 children. I don't know what negative identity that the enemy has stuck with your life. And it's that identity that people are used to calling your name. You want to pray this morning. Say, Father, every negative identity that the enemy has stuck to my life, now I reject in the name of Jesus. I remove such an identity by fire. I remove every negative identity of the enemy by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh, I remove. I remove every negative identity of the enemy. Every negative stigma of the enemy. Every bolt of the evil ones. I remove them in my life. I remove them in my home. I remove them in my marriage. I remove them in my ministry. I remove them in my business. Every form of negative identity, I reject them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. You want to pray, say, Father, let your fire burn every form of chains that the enemy has used to chain my destiny. Let your fire burn it up in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever form of chain that the enemy has used to chain down my destiny, be consumed by fire. Be consumed by fire in the name of Jesus. Be consumed by fire. Be consumed by fire. Be consumed by fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. The Bible wrote about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel chapter 3, that before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they were bound, both in hand and in leg. But thank God, the fire of Nebuchadnezzar became the fire of God. What was tying them down was burned off. Amen? But they were never burnt. I don't know what is tying you down. What is that thing hindering you from fulfilling your potential? What is that thing hindering you from fulfilling your destiny? You want to pray this morning. Say, Father. Say, Father, every chain of the enemy, be it physical, be it spiritual, tie down my destiny. Receive fire now. Be burned up by fire. Be burned up by fire. In the name of Jesus, every chain of the enemy, every chain of the enemy, hindering me to fulfill my potential in life, hindering me to reach my destiny. In the name of Jesus, I set you on fire. I set you on fire. I set you on fire. Now be set on fire. Now be consumed. In the name of Jesus, every form of change, be it physical, be it spiritual, in the name of Jesus, be born of now. Be born of now. Be born of now. Be born of now. By fire be born of. In the mighty name of Jesus, be born up by fire. Be born up by fire. In the mighty name of Jesus, be born up by fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. And finally, you want to pray. The book of Psalm 138, verse 8 says, he said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I don't know about you. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. You want to pray, say, Father, fulfill your purpose for me, O Lord. Fulfill your purpose for my life. Fulfill your purpose for my marriage. Fulfill your purpose, O Lord, for my destiny. Fulfill your purpose, O Lord, for my ministry. God's purpose, your own God ordained purpose, your own divine ordained purpose, let it be fulfilled. Let it be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. My Father, my God, fulfill your purpose, O Lord, for my life. Let your purpose be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have just prayed. Our Father and our God want to say thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Because we know you are in here. And we could see and perceive your glory. And we return the glory and honor unto you, God. In the name of Jesus. As we go into your world, Father, please come and talk to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you. You are the best of all the teachers. Please come and teach us. In the name of Jesus. That which we want us to receive today, may we not miss, oh God. May we not miss out, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. At the end, may your name and your name alone be glorified. For in Jesus Christ's name, we have just prayed. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Say it like you mean it. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Can we please be seated? Today I'm going to be sharing with us in a topic I call Seeing God as Omnipresent. Seeing God as Omnipresent. In this book of Psalm 139 that we have read from 7 to 12. Psalm 139 from 7 to 12. I will quickly read for us again. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seeing God as omnipresent. Omnipresent is one of the attributes of God. I've been teaching this attribute through our pastor, I believe, since last month. Last month, we learned about omniscience. In other words, God knows all things. Today, by God's grace and throughout this month, the topic for today is about omnipresent. And our motto for this month is about omnipresent God. And the third, one of the third attribute I have here is omnipotent, and he is the Almighty. So if we know that God is omnipresent, then that brings a question. What is omnipresent? Omnipresent means God is present everywhere. God is present everywhere. In other words, God is infinite. God is infinite. It cannot be contained in a container. Amen? And God cannot be contained in just one place. Just like we don't have to go to Israel to be able to pray to God, or go to Mecca to be able to pray to God in this end time. Because God is where? He's everywhere. God is not contained in a location or in a locality. God is infinite. Amen? No wonder Solomon realized this when he built the temple for God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18, when he built that temple, he says, who am I? The heavens of heavens cannot even contain you. Not to talk of this temple that I built for you. So Solomon realized, yes, temple is a place that we gather together to worship God. But having said that, that does not necessarily mean God is not residing in you or in your house. Amen? God is everywhere. God is not contained in a location or is not contained in a locality. God is omnipresent. If you ask me, how possible is God omnipresent? And to be sincere with you, my answer will be, because he's God. Amen? Why is he omnipresent? Because he is God. The Bible says there is no searching of his understanding. We try to understand God sometimes like human beings. And what we fail to understand is that we are limited. Amen? But God is what? He is unlimited. The reason why God can be omnipotent or omnipresent or is omnipresent is because he is God Almighty. The second reason is that because God is a spirit. God is what? He is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. Amen? Spirits are everywhere. And especially God's spirit is everywhere. Just like you breathe in here. Sometimes want to see the oxygen you breathe in? No. It just comes naturally. Amen? It's already in there. And so also God. God is everywhere because he is spirit. It's possible for him to be everywhere because he is spirit. Praise the Lord. So if we know that God is omnipresent, and if you know that it's possible for him to be omnipresent, then what are the implications of him being omnipresent in our lives? What is the advantage of God being omnipresent to me? What is the implication of God being omnipresent to me? The first point I have here is that because God is omnipresent, you are not alone. Let somebody say, I'm not alone. Oh, say it like you mean it. What a comfort we have, knowing fully that when we go through this journey of life, and I can tell you, brethren, life is a journey. Amen? Life is a journey until God calls you and I home, or until death comes, we continue in that journey. But the confidence we have is that in this journey, we are not alone. The omnipresent God is with you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 28 verse 20b says, I will be with you always. In this journey of life, you are not going to be alone. I am going to be with you always. And he says, even unto the end of the world. So the joy we have in God being omnipresent is that you and I, we are not alone. God is with us. Hebrews 13, I want us to read that passage. Hebrews 13 verse 5b. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5b. Hebrews 13, 5b. Are we there? He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen? In other words, for you and I in this journey of life, God is promising you and I that he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. In other words, he's not going to quit on us. In the journey of life, no matter how tough it may be, the omnipresent God is always with us. As long as you are his son or his daughter, as long as you are one of his own, he's not going to quit on you and I. Amen. The second implication of God being omnipresent is that he answers prayer. At least we have that confidence. Amen. That if, as he's with us, we can call on him, he will answer us. Praise the Lord. What a great joy, what a great comfort we have in our God. That because he's always with us, we can ask him things. We can pray unto him. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 36 to 39, prior to verse 36, there was a confrontation between Elijah and what we call the prophet, 450 prophet of Baal. Amen. And prophet of Baal said, well, their God is everywhere as well, or at least in that location at that particular time, and he's going to answer them, and he's going to call fire down from heaven and consume the sacrifice they put on the altar of Baal. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says from morning to night, they were calling on Baal, but Baal could not answer them. Even the prophet of God was teasing them. Has he traveled? What has happened to his hearing? I thought he's supposed to be here. You are his children. You are his people. He's supposed to answer you. Praise the Lord. Because Baal was no God. Amen. Let somebody say Baal was no God. Amen. So Baal could not answer because Baal was not present. Amen. But if you read from verse 36 to 39 of that passage of 1 Kings 18, the prophet of God, Elijah, called on God of heaven and earth. God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And what happened? Fire fell. Because God is omnipresent. Amen? And he does what? He does answer prayer. God knew that he needed to answer Elijah's prayer at that particular time. Do you know, Elijah could have been missing to the prophet of Baal. If it's either God answering at that particular time, or he doesn't, or he's a dead man. But thank God, because our God is omnipresent. He answered Elijah. And I got good news for you as well, that he can answer you. And indeed, he will answer you in Jesus' name, because he's omnipresent. Amen. Praise the Lord. The third point or advantage that we have for God being omnipresent in our lives is that we should not be afraid. We should not be what? We should not be afraid. There are a lot of scary moments out there, brethren. There are a lot of things that would want to terrify you. There are a lot of things that would want to cowd you and say, you just be scared for that kind of experience. But the Bible is telling you and I that we should not be afraid. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. If you ask me, would there be some situation or some challenges that could challenge you and I faith? I will tell you, just like the Americans normally say, you bet. Amen. There will be situations, there will be circumstances that will threaten your faith, that will threaten even the faith you have in God, that will threaten the faith you have in prayer, the faith you have in the word of God. Praise the Lord. But the Bible is telling you and I that in the midst of this situation, in the midst of these challenges, do not what? Do not be afraid. Why shouldn't you be afraid? Because the omnipresent God is with you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Are you following me? Please follow me. Because the omnipresent is with you and I, we should not be afraid. We should know that fear is originated from Satan. Fear originated from Satan, just like as faith originated from God. By faith, the Bible says God commanded heavens and earth to be. By faith, he brought light to be. Praise the Lord. So the force of faith is what the enemy twisted to be force of fear, to bring depression, to bring stress onto our lives. But thank God for faith, because through faith, hope is birthed in you and I. Amen? Through faith, joy is birthed in you and I. Through faith, peace of God is birthed in you and I. No wonder Philippians 4, verse 7 says, there's some peace in God. There's a peace in God. It passes all understanding of men. People will be wondering. They will be asking you, with all these things you are going through, why are you still joyous? Why are you still praising this your God? Job wise said, curse this God. I mean, this God is no good to you. Curse him and die so that we just forget you. We bury you. Praise the Lord. But thank God for a man like Job. He's still with God, even in the challenges of life. Say, I will stand with God. Say it like you mean it. Say, I will stand with God. You know what fear does is that fear actually kills before death comes. Fear kills before death comes. Because many a times, the thing that you are even scared of may not even come to materialize. Praise the Lord. And that's what the enemy wants to do, to even make us to be paralyzed before he finish one off. And I pray the enemy will not finish you off in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. You can write down Job 3:25. Job 3:25. Job feared something before that temptation. The trial came to him. And he said in Job 3:25, he said, the thing he feared most has come upon him. He has allowed the spirit of fear. Yes, he was worshiping God. But you need to know the motive behind his worshiping God, behind his sacrifice he was making to God. The motive behind that is that he was scared. He was afraid. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. But David knew that fear is opposite of faith. In Psalm 24, 23, verse 4 says, When I pass through the shadow of death, I will do what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Omnipresent God is with me. God will not push you through that shadow and say, bye-bye, son, bye-bye, daughter. Amen. But he's going with you and I to be able to defend us, to be able to uphold us, even in that situation and that circumstances that we are going through. And I pray the Lord will see you through in Jesus' name. Like I said earlier on, fear does paralyze. Fear brings terror. It brings hopelessness. It brings depression. It brings agony. A few years ago, I have one particular fear, and that fear is the fear of going back to Nigeria. For good 12 years, I was battling what is called immigration people here in the United Kingdom. praise the Lord. And each time, something will tell me, say, they are taking you home. And that fear, I will tell you, for good 12 years, I was paralyzed with that fear. Until one day, I just came to my senses, and I believe it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I came to my senses and said, I'm not a criminal in Nigeria. It's not I didn't steal, I didn't embezzle money. Even if they send me home, if they send me to Nigeria, it's my father's land. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. And through that fear was dealt with. I had to go back home and get my papers. Amen. But thank God that I got that paper. Amen. What the enemy want to use to paralyze me, God turn it around. I don't know what is making you to be scared. I don't know what you think you will think. And panic will grip you. Praise the Lord. God is telling you and I today that exercise faith, don't exercise fear. Tell your neighbor, say, exercise faith, don't exercise fear. In Jesus' name. So faith in God will bring us hope. It brings us hope. It brings us hope. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Daniel 3:16-18. The three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had so much faith in God. They had so much hope in God. They knew that, yes, this fiery furnace, as the Bible called it, it can burn things, yes, it can destroy, but they know that their God is able to deliver them. that they will not go, they are not going to bow to the threatening of the king. Praise the Lord. They say our God is able to deliver us. If you say how does that statement come by? It comes by faith. They put their faith in God. Just note it down that Satan wants you to have fear, but God wants you to have faith. Which spirit are you going to yield to? God's spirit, I believe. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. The fourth point of the benefit we have in God being omnipresent is that we need to have a life of accountability. Amen. Let somebody say a life of accountability. Yes, we say God is a spirit and we cannot see God. But because he's a spirit, that doesn't necessarily mean he cannot see us. Because we cannot see him doesn't necessarily mean that he cannot see us. God sees everything you and I do. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he even sees the intent of our heart. He sees through my heart, he sees through your heart. And that's why we as God's children, we need to live a life of accountability. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me ask us, how do you live outside this place? Yes, we are holy people. We are Christian people. We are God's people. But outside this, the four corners of this room, can people approach you on the street and say you are a Christian? Can people approach you in your workplace and say you are a Christian? Is your Christianity just limited here? If it's limited here, I will tell you, you are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Because what that means is that we are just practicing religion for practicing's sake. And Christianity is more than religion, brethren. Praise the Lord. Christianity is about relationship with our God. And when you say you are in relationship with somebody, you are in relationship openly, and you are in relationship in your secret place. That's why David said in that place we have read, in Psalm 139, he said, even if I hide in my covert, God is there. Even if I cover myself with darkness, darkness is as light unto our God. So how do we live our life at home? How do we live our life at workplace? How do we live our life in the things we read? What are the things you watch? If I ask you, what did you watch yesterday? What book did you read? Are you just the most popular book now? I think it's 50 something gray or Shade of Gray. I've never read it, but what I've heard of that book is that it's a very most corrupt book. Praise the Lord. But Christians, they are reading it as well because it's a popular thing. I pray God will help us. I pray God will help us. God has called you and I to be a peculiar people, a holy nation. People who are separate. We are separate. We have been called out. Other people may be enjoying the 50 or 60 gray of shade, whatever, but you don't have to enjoy it. People may be watching whatever they think they want to watch on the internet or on the TV, but you don't have to watch it. Because why? You are different. Praise the Lord. Say to somebody, say, I am different. I am different. Amen. You need to know that God is everywhere. And because he's everywhere, he sees us. He sees what we do. He sees our secret sin. He sees what we do secretly. He sees what we do when our brethren, our church people, are not around. Sin is something that separates man from God. As God is so everywhere, what can break that relationship between you and God is what we call sin. When sin comes in, God says bye-bye. Because the Bible says God cannot behold iniquity. God cannot behold sin. And that's why he has called you and I out to live a holy life. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Genesis 28, verse 16. If you are there, somebody please can read for us, please. Amen. Jacob said, God is in this place. I did not know. What blur is vision? It's sin. Because prior to that passage, what did Jacob do? He robbed his brother of his birthright. He lied. Amen. And he was living in that fast lane, fast pace of life, until he encountered God in that passage. Say, really? God is in this place. And I was not aware because there was a sin in his life. So what am I saying is that if you have both sin in your life, that brings demarcation. Even if God is in your home, even if God is in the church, you will not be able to have that encounter with him because sin breaks demarcation between you and God. Amen. In 2 Samuel 11:15, David committed a murder that I call a perfect murder. Everything was covered. The person who needs to die was dead. The person that needs to be brought to the king's palace was brought. Everything was in perfect order, negatively, until God revealed unto him that you thought you had committed a perfect murder, but you are found out. In Joshua 7:20, Achan committed a perfect robbery by hiding what God said must be destroyed until God found him out. In 1 Samuel 15:14, King Saul carried out God's instruction in half measure, and he thought everything was okay until God found him out. Amen. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, Joseph realized something. When Potiphar's wife approached him, the master is not here. Nobody is here. It's just you and I. Amen. Potiphar's wife could look everywhere, but what she didn't realize that she needed to look up into heaven. Praise the Lord. That our God, who is everywhere, was even in that room with them in that particular period. No wonder in that Genesis 39, 9, Joseph said, how can I commit this sin against my God, who is present here with us? Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. So because God is everywhere, we need to live a life of accountability. Realizing that God is everywhere should affect, I believe, the way you and I live our lives. It should affect where we go. It should affect what we say. It should affect what we watch and what we even think in our heart. Just like I've said earlier on, that God looks most of the time at the intent of our heart. May I ask you, brethren, where have you been to lately? What sort of thought has passed through your mind lately? And you know that if God just knocks at that door of your mind, you'll be shivering like Adam and Eve. What have you done lately and you know that God will not approve of? What have you said lately, whether to God or to your fellow brethren, that you know God will not please with? What is the thought of your heart, even right now? Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, God dwells with the contrite, the people who have a contrite heart, people who have a broken spirit, people who are remorseful of what they've done. How remorseful are you? Shall we just stand up? Do you have a contrite heart? Do you realize that God is here? Do you realize that he's looking at the intent of your heart now? Do you realize that he knows what you did yesterday? He knows what you watch. He knows what you say. You want to pray. I made mention of David that he committed a perfect murder. But when he was found out, he wrote the book of Psalm 51. And all he could do in that psalm is that, Father, have mercy on me. Yes, Uriah has died. I know Uriah cannot challenge me anymore. But I know there's a God in heaven who oversees the affairs of men. I know there's a God in heaven who sees into my secret place. And the Bible, and David wrote that psalm. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know what you want to cry unto God for this morning. But I will implore you to cry for mercy. That Lord, just show me your mercy. I know you are everywhere. In every way that I may have gone wrong, in anything I may have done wrong, all I am asking you, Lord, oh, omnipresent God, I'm so sorry. Oh, Father, please show me your mercy. Cleanse me, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Totally purge me. Totally purify me. Totally make me whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, show me your mercy. Is somebody praying? Oh Lord, show me your mercy. Lord, show me your mercy. By the blood of Jesus Christ, let me be cleansed. Let me be purged. Let me be purified. Let me be made whole. If you have not given your life to Jesus, this is an opportunity. You want to ask me that, Lord, come into my life. I know you are everywhere. I know you are here in this church. And I want to have that one-to-one relationship with you. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my soul. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender all unto you. I surrender everything unto you. In the name of Jesus. Wash me today, O Lord. Cleanse me, O Lord. Make me your own. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have just prayed. Our Father and our God want to say thank you. Lord, this morning we recognize that you are omnipresent and you are here with us. In our homes, you are here there with us. In our cars, on the street, you are there with us. Father, I want to say thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, any challenges that may be going on in our lives, Father, we pray, oh Lord, that you prove your presence in such challenges in the name of Jesus. Like you did for David. He said, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Father, prove your presence in our lives in Jesus' name. Any challenges that may be confronting our life, Father, grant us victory. Let it be well with us. Individually, let it be well with us. Collectively, as a church, let it be well with us. May your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, we have just prayed. God bless you. Shall we please be seated?